A reading from the first book of Samuel. David came to Nob, to the priest Ahimelech. Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" David said to the priest Ahimelech, "The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, 'No one must know anything about the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and at such a place. Now then, what have you at hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever there is here.'" The priest answered David, "I have no ordinary bread at hand, only holy bread, provided that the young men have kept themselves from women." David answered the priest, "Indeed, women have been kept from us as always when I go on expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy, even when it is a common journey. How much more today when their vessels be holy?" So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there except the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day that it is taken away. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, and when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent. Jesus looked around at them in anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against Jesus, how to destroy him. The Gospel of Christ.
So the readings for today, well, the Gospel reading anyway, came from the Revised Common Lectionary. It assigned this reading for this day, and it happened to come from Mark, the Gospel we've been exploring all year long. But interestingly, it took a portion of Mark that we haven't already covered. So we're not hearing some words we've already heard before. It's something kind of new in that respect. But at the same time, you've probably heard these words before, at least the story behind it, and you've probably puzzled over them. Why the Pharisees are all hung up about the Sabbath so much, especially when it comes to what Jesus was trying to accomplish in these two episodes. The first episode, as you heard, Jesus and his disciples were on their way somewhere, and evidently they were hungry, and so they're going by a grain field, and the disciples would have just grabbed some of the heads of grain and pulled it off into their hands and rubbed their hands together to get rid of the chaff, and then popped the grain into their mouths and had a snack. Well, when the Pharisees discovered this, what was going on, they had a problem with it, saying, "Why are your disciples doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Well, what wasn't lawful about that? Well, their act of doing this amounted to harvesting, threshing. That's work. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And this is the issue the Pharisees had with what the disciples were doing. So that's the first issue. And we might wonder, like, what's the big deal? Like, come on, really? But the second episode is even more disturbing. Jesus is in the synagogue, and there's a man there with a withered hand. And it says that the people are already there, the Pharisees in particular, looking to find out whether Jesus is going to heal him on the Sabbath. Evidently, they already were aware that Jesus had this ability to heal people. And so when he sees this, he asks them the question, "Hey, which is better? Which is more lawful, to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil on the Sabbath?" Well, of course, they can't answer. Because they're not going to say it's lawful to do evil on the Sabbath. But if they say it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, then they're basically going to endorse what Jesus is about to do. So Jesus is angry with them, kind of rolling his eyes, wondering, like, what are you guys, stupid? And then he just basically says, look, stretch forth your hand. The man stretches forth his hand. He's been healed. And the Pharisees want to conspire with the Herodians to figure out how they can destroy Jesus. They want to kill him because of this. And it's easy to wonder, what on earth is going on here? How on earth can this be so? How do you miss the fact that he just miraculously healed this guy's hand? Well, it's good to ask those questions. It's good that we're puzzling over this and trying to figure out what on earth this could possibly be about. So let's discover it. The idea of remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments appear twice in the Bible, once in Exodus chapter 20 and once in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And what we'll find in these two instances of the delivery of the Ten Commandments, that this fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is slightly different, which is curious. But let's just go ahead and find the origin of this command. So Exodus chapter 20 is after the Israelites have left Egypt. Moses is on Mount Sinai receiving the law. This is where the Ten Commandments get put onto the tablets of stone that Moses is going to bring down from the mountain. And here's what it says about the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. Now the question is, okay, why would this be important? Well, here's the reason why. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. So that commandment was given, looking back to the creation story from Genesis chapter 1 and saying, remember the Sabbath day because God took a day off and so should you. Now, about 40 years later, the Israelites have a new generation of people about to go into the promised land, and Moses reads the law to them a second time. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is all about. They're getting the law a second time. And here's how it is described in Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as Yahweh your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Now, what is the reason for this commandment being given? It's this. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So that's interesting. Moses is the one reading the law in both cases. The first time, the reason for keeping the Sabbath is because God created the world in 6 days and then took a break on the seventh day. But in Deuteronomy, the reason is you're not a slave anymore, so don't work 7 days a week. Now, accounting for those two differences is another sermon altogether, so we'll just leave it there as a curiosity. But let's explore further how important this command is. What we find later in Exodus chapter 31 is this additional instruction about keeping the Sabbath. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it shall be cut off from among the people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Okay. Numbers chapter 15 tells an episode. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses, Aaron, and to the whole congregation. They put him in custody because it was not clear what should be done to him. I thought it was pretty clear a second ago. Anyway, then Yahweh said to Moses, "The man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him outside the camp." The whole congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And just to make it clear, what it means to stone somebody is for everyone to gather in a circle around him and throw rocks at him until he dies. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Anyone? These initial instructions about the Sabbath day obviously treated the Sabbath very seriously. This was very much something that the Israelites understood they shouldn't mess around with. Now, this took place about 1,200, 1,400 years before the time of Jesus. And as we have seen theological development take place in the Hebrew Bible down through the years, in this way too, the ancient Israelites, I am confident we can say, found a way to not keep going to the capital punishment thing for people who violated the Sabbath. But despite the fact that the death penalty was taken off the table, the importance of the commandment nevertheless remained. And the Pharisees, who were the people having an issue with Jesus in today's gospel, arose as a group because they wanted to make sure the people of Israel actually followed the law. They actually followed the Torah. And the reason for that is about 500 years earlier, Israel was put into exile to Babylon, and the understanding was that that happened because they didn't keep the law properly. And so they are all about wanting to make sure that, look, if it's in the Bible, if it's in the Ten Commandments, if it's part of God's law, we have to keep the Sabbath. And if we don't keep the law, bad things happen. So this is underwriting their concern about what Jesus is doing. Whether his disciples are grabbing handfuls of grain and threshing on the Sabbath day, or whether he's healing somebody, even miraculously, he's doing work, and that's not supposed to happen. But what's Jesus' response to this concern, this charge being brought against him? Well, in the first instance, where his disciples are threshing grain, he goes and he says, look, you guys, haven't you read about when David went to the high place, to the holy place, when Abiathar was the high priest and his men were hungry? By the way, that was our first reading, if you hadn't picked that up. 1 Samuel 21 is the only place in the Bible where it talks about this episode Jesus is referring to. Another curiosity, the priest in 1 Samuel 21 is Ahimelech, but in Mark it says it's Abiathar. So either Jesus was wrong in saying which priest it was, or the gospel writer of Mark was wrong and got his priest mixed up. That's another sermon altogether anyway, but just saying, just acknowledging the discrepancy. But what had happened in this time of David? David had a bunch of men with him, his military campaign. It was a secret campaign. The king, Saul, at the time, didn't want him to tell what it was. But he's traveling and his men are hungry. And so he comes to the tabernacle where the worship of God would be. And he asked the priest for food to feed his men. And the priest is okay with David and his men, and they're ceremonially pure and all that. But he says, the problem is the only bread we have is the bread of the presence. And it's not lawful for anyone but the priests to eat the bread of the presence. Now, what is the bread of the presence? Well, when you would come into the tabernacle back then, or the temple later on, the priest would see three pieces of furniture right in front of him. There would be an altar of incense. There would be a golden candlestick. This is the menorah, like the seven-pronged candlestick you see in Jewish temples and stuff. And there'd be the table of showbread. And this bread was called the bread of the presence. And it would be put there every day as an offering to God, and only the priests were to eat it. It's kind of like the bread here when we do Eucharist, when it's consecrated, it's special. You don't just treat it like any other bread. It's for a specific purpose. This is exactly the situation here. But Jesus says, look, when David and his men were hungry, he went to the priest and asked for bread. And the priest said, you know, all I've got is this bread that it's only lawful for priests to eat. But you know what? I'm going to give it to you anyway. And so David's men are fed, technically by breaking the law, because that was the right thing to do. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, we're in the same kind of situation. I'm traveling with my disciples. They're hungry. They're having a snack. In this case, the Sabbath concern ought to be suspended in favor of my men being fed. And in the second episode, where the man with the withered hand comes into the synagogue, Jesus is clearly saying, look, at any concern about whether I'm working on the Sabbath or not needs to be suspended in favor of this man now being healed and being made whole. How on earth could that not be what the Sabbath is about? So that's his response. Now, how he justifies this response is interesting. It's after that first episode. He says an interesting statement. He says, look, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And so with that statement, he bases his actions. Now, what's interesting about this statement is we see this same scenario appear in a couple of the later Gospels. Matthew and Luke, which were written after Mark, also make this statement, except they leave out the first part. The Sabbath is not made for humankind, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Matthew and Luke leave that out. They just have Jesus say, the Son of Man was Lord even of the Sabbath. And I think the reason for that is because what that seems to be saying is, Jesus is saying, because he uses this title, the Son of Man, it's from Daniel and Ezekiel, he applies it to himself, and he basically says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the one who can make the call here. After all, as later Christian theology will understand, I'm God, God wrote the law. If I'm God, I can make the call. And I'm quite confident that's what Matthew and Luke were thinking, that they left that statement in there. But there's a challenge with that thinking, simply because in the Gospel of Mark, you don't see an emphasis of Jesus being God in there. Jesus being the Son of God, sure. And we're only in chapter 2 of Mark. Not to mention, that whole strategy wouldn't exactly work with the Pharisees anyway. If they're already having an issue with Jesus violating the Sabbath and he says, oh, it's okay, I'm God, I can do this. Oh yeah, that'll work. They'll be ready to stone him right there for blasphemy, for claiming to be God. There's no reason that that ought to be taken that way. So what's going on here? Well, here's the thing, and you got to walk with me on this. The Gospels were written in the language of Greek, but Jesus and his disciples would have spoken the language of Aramaic, which is a dialect of Hebrew. And in Aramaic, the language they actually spoke, the word for humanity or humankind and this title, the Son of Man, is the same word. It's the word bar-nash. The word bar in Aramaic, as in Hebrew, means son of, and nash would mean man, mankind, humankind, humanity, whatever nuance you want there, right? And so you have this same word appearing those three times. The Sabbath was made for Barnash, not Barnash for the Sabbath. Therefore, Barnash is Lord even of the Sabbath. So it literally means Son of Man, but it generally means, like, we're all sons of men. We're all sons of humanity. So if we read it as though it is the title that Jesus is taking for himself, I am the Son of Man, then we would read, the Sabbath was made for the Son of Man, not the Son of Man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And if that's all about the title Jesus is taking for himself, then what he's basically saying is, the Sabbath was made for me, not me for the Sabbath, therefore I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Which makes zero sense with the Sabbath commandment, because the Sabbath commandment is clearly for the benefit of all. You don't work on the Sabbath so that you, your sons and daughters, your slaves, even your animals get to have a day off. So it makes no sense to translate it that way. But if we translate it the other way, the Sabbath was made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. Therefore, humanity is Lord even of the Sabbath. We pause for a moment and think, can that actually be right? That sounds like we're allowed to play a little fast and loose with the law, aren't we? And I think that's exactly why Matthew and Luke leave that out and just go with the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And we know that Jesus is the Son of Man, so that makes it good. But I think Jesus intended to be written the way we just looked at. Humanity is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, you might ask, how can that possibly be? This is God's law. Are we saying that we can just do what we want with God's law? Well, let me ask you this. Don't we do that already? How many of you actually hold the Sabbath the way it was originally written in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5? Does anybody here not work on the Sabbath day? Those of you who are retired don't count. You don't work any of those days, right? Okay. The reality is that generally speaking, I mean, in Canada, at least up until the 1980s, we tried to protect Sunday as a day not to work, but then the Sunday shopping rules came in, and now chances are, even if we don't work on the Sabbath, chances are we make somebody else work. Do you ever go to a restaurant on the Sabbath day? Do you ever go shopping on the Sabbath day? You know, it's there. The Christian church decided that the Sabbath shouldn't be Saturday anymore. Let's make it Sunday instead, which is already different from what the scriptures were saying. The reality is that we are already using the Sabbath day and applying it the way we see fit. And the wisdom of the Sabbath law is that it makes sense to take a break. Don't work 7 days a week. That's the fast track to burnout. Take a break. Make sure that you've got good boundaries in place. Make sure that you are not just being a slave to work or whatever and constantly going. You need a chance to pull back, to be refreshed. And psychology today will show the wisdom in doing that. This is what I would argue God is driving at with the Sabbath law in the first place. Again, it would take another sermon to talk about why the death penalty was to be applied, so let's leave that alone. But let's just go with the principle behind the importance of the Sabbath. The Sabbath indeed is given to humanity. It is a gift. Take a break. Have a day off every week. This is good. This is helpful. This is constructive for you. It was given to humanity. Humanity is not to be a slave to the Sabbath. And yes, humanity is the Lord even of the Sabbath. But what are you saying then, Reverend Derwin? Are you saying that we can just pick whatever laws we want to follow or whatever? It's not exactly the case. We must be careful not to go all or nothing here, which is one of our tendencies as human beings. What is happening in this scenario, and this is the point Jesus is driving at, is in the case of David and his soldiers back in 1 Samuel chapter 21, if the priest had insisted on following the law because the law said only the priest can eat that bread, then David and his men would go hungry. They would not receive the blessing of food. They would not receive the help that they would need. There would not be any love being shown to them by the priest because the priest is more concerned about following the Torah. When Jesus and his disciples are traveling and they're having a snack as they go, if they were supposed to follow the law to the nth degree, they would go hungry. They would not be receiving the generosity of what you're allowed to do in grabbing some grains of wheat to eat on, you know. They would be left to be hungry. And especially in the case of the man with the withered hand, if the emphasis was it is most important to follow the Sabbath and that is what is of primary importance, then that guy would have remained with his withered hand until the next opportunity. Here's the thing. What Jesus is saying is if the law is going to prevent us from loving our neighbor, we have to put the law aside. If the law, the Torah, church tradition, whatever you want to call it, is trying to put a guideline in place, and if it is going to keep us from loving our neighbor, we have to put that aside in favor of loving our neighbor. It's not just all about throw the law away. By all means, follow it. Follow the instructions that are there. Follow the guidelines, the intention behind it. But if it's going to get in the way of you loving your neighbor, it needs to go aside. The Apostle Paul picks up on this a bit later on, actually. In Romans, he says this, which is rather curious. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And of course, Paul is not saying, oh, you can go ahead and commit adultery, you can go ahead and commit murder, you can go ahead and steal, you can go ahead and covet. That's not what he's saying. But he's trying to make the point that the whole purpose behind the law is to assist us in loving God, of course, and loving our neighbors. If the following of the law prevents us from loving our neighbor, that law needs to be set aside. That's something to contemplate for a while, something to mull over. Be careful not to go all or nothing on it, but understand, if Jesus said that humanity is Lord even of the Sabbath, then what we're meant to do is use the God-given wisdom we have to sort out what needs to happen in this situation. And maybe that means putting this aside for now so I can love my neighbor as myself. Amen.